Thank you to all the choir folks. Of course, Brother Holtzclaw leads that. Thank you, folks. Wonderful package presented this morning. Appreciate that so much. Beautiful music. And all right. You folks need some enlightenment over here. All right. Get your Bibles, please. Our associate pastor, Tim Holtzclaw, is coming to preach this evening. Thankful for him and his work in ministry here. If the lights move around, they don't have a mind of their own, fine, no problem. The Word of God still captured. Let the Word of God capture our attention.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Brother Jonathan, Miss Sydney, for singing the lights out. Amen. Preaching the house down, singing the lights out. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And I pastored years ago. I mentioned the same thing to my people at the church about don't move, stay in the same place, especially as a new pastor. I'm just learning where everybody's faces are and everybody's at. Not anymore. I know who you are. No matter where you move, I can hit a moving target. So I know where you are. So we can get that done. And so what they did one day, just a couple after I kind of mentioned that to them, the next service, I think I mentioned it Sunday morning, Sunday night, they all connived together and they switched places. Those who sat over here now sat over there, and those who sat over there sat over here. Don't y'all wish you would have sat over here tonight? Into the light. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start with verse number 1. Luke chapter 24 as I turn there. Praise the Lord for a wonderful day. Amen. A unique day, was it not? A unique day. The lights had gone out in Sissonville. But praise the Lord, we preached the gospel. Hearts were touched. And we even got to baptize some this morning. And praise the Lord for that. And weren't sure if that was going to happen or not. We were already planning. We had lights everywhere. Some folks even ran home and grabbed lights and brought them back so we can see inside different in the restrooms. And we were looking at kind of flashlights and spotlights. If we could get it on the baptistry, we're going to baptize anyways. Not sure how we're going to fully do that in the dark, but we're going to do something. But the Lord knew best, right? Amen. And turn all the lights back on for us. And what a great day it was today. But this resurrection day it's a great day. It's a wonderful. It's a day of celebration that we honor and are honored by our Lord and Savior, having come, bled, and died, and rose again on the third day for you and for me. And I want to bring something unique from these passages that I have in regards to that resurrection. And we'll lead into it as we get into the passage of Scripture. So if we're in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 1, say amen with me. Amen. And these folks over here are squinting to see, but they'll get there. And it says this, "Now upon the first day of the week, early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." So I'm just going to stop there for right now. "And to all the rest." So let's go with the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. What again, a wonderful day. Thank you. And Lord, I pray now you bless the word of God, the reading, dear Lord, the words. And dear Lord, that my words be your words, to be an encouragement, dear Lord, tonight, but also a challenge. Lord, we need you today. We need you today in this day and this hour. And Lord, help us to continue to serve you, love you, and dear Lord, to keep moving forward for what we have before us yet. So Lord, we love you and pray all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I've got to look back in my notes. I have an illustration, actually a statistic that I grabbed, and I dropped it in my notes, but I know that I put it in the wrong spot. You know why? Because it's supposed to be here at the beginning and not near the end of my notes. Now, I just want to get these numbers exactly right. There's a group of people, several groups of people that do surveys. They like to do these surveys and calling around, and they happen to have, don't worry, I have my cell phone somewhere. Amen. It's little surveys, and the survey read, so I'm not even going to try to look for it now. The survey said that it is from the Pew Foundation, and they did a survey about Christians, those that profess to be Christians. In 1977, the statistics said that 92% of those of America profess to be a Christian. Now, many different ways of being a Christian, but they profess themselves to be Christian. And the Pew survey came back around, and they did it again and again and again. And the last one that they posted was in 2020. And in 2020, the survey came back around and said now it's only about 69% that are saying that they would claim themselves to be Christian. I don't know how that covers across. I don't know how that carries. But I know that even in our big cities, sure, in our rural community, if we knock on certain doors, we'll find a lot of folks saying that they go to church somewhere or they have a faith. The other is the fact that maybe into the more southern states, it seems like when we knock on doors down south, that it seems like people are saved there. But if you go further north, and especially when you go up in the New York area and the big cities, you'll find the people that are saved in the big cities, that percentage is really low. Churches have pulled out of the big cities and aren't reaching into the big cities like they had in days past. In days past, the big revivals came in the big cities. But my friend, not anymore. The revivals that we kind of sense and we feel are more urban or more country, where folks still have a mind and still have a heart for the Lord. And I believe it's from something that we can pick up in this passage here just as well that we have before us. Now, I'm going to reach over and grab my little cell phone, and I'll use it at times. For that passage that we just read, in Luke 24, verse number 1, we read down then to verse number 9. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So here's Mary Magdalene. Here's the others that were with her. They saw that the stone was rolled away. They saw the tomb was empty. They met up with these two men in white, the angels, and they say, "Why stand you here gazing? He is risen, just as he said he would on that third day." And he did arise on that third day. And so now, and she remembers. So now she goes and she's going to go tell all the rest. Verse number 10 says this, "And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words," the ladies' words, "seemed to them," who is the them, but the others, the 11, because we already know that Judas Iscariot is gone. And so the 11, they tell it to the apostles, and their words, the ladies' words, seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. Here is the special day of Christendom, a very special day thereof. And on this special day, you would think that the disciples would be waiting for it. You would think that the ladies would have been waiting for it. You would have think the followers would have been waiting for it and waiting for that third day, just as he said. And on that third day, they go and they're surprised. In another passage of scripture, we see where Mary Magdalene stays behind. She sees a man dressed and he looks like the gardener. But we know it's Jesus. And it wasn't until Jesus says her name, Mary, that things change. Everything changed. But here, the disciples, they're hearing this from the ladies. The ladies come running, and it's in their unbelief. They believed not. They thought them as idle tales. My friend, we're living in a day and an age to where a good portion of folks, even in America, say that the gospel is nothing but an idle tale. Can I tell you something else? There are folks that used to go to church that I believe have got caught up in that great falling away that the Bible says that the end times will be, to where they are now believing that these things are idle tales. So today, although it's a wonderful day, there are some folks in America that aren't holding to this thought. There are some today, even though they know it and they believe it, aren't holding it as true. Even in the big news, you probably heard the big news, and I'll just let you go find the big news in regards to the terrible thing that they're claiming this day is other than Resurrection Sunday. So as an important day as this one, and one we need to celebrate, and we must celebrate, oh my friend, may we not get into that realm of unbelief. Unbelief is that of turning and having thought of, or lack of thought of, or not thinking and trusting and accepting unbelief. The disciples did not believe. They didn't have the faith in order to trust in what Jesus told them unto the end. They were there, but oh, my friend, they kept falling. I need my phone here for a minute to catch my notes. See, throughout the Bible, many people had faltered in unbelief. Probably one of the most humorous ones is in Genesis 17, verse 17, with Abraham and Sarah. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "How shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" He did not believe in what was told unto him. We find in the New Testament many times where the disciples just didn't quite get it. Jesus was in the boat. The winds and the waves were blowing. The disciples feared for their lives, and they awoke the master. Matthew 8:26, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. O ye of little faith, don't you believe in me and who I am and what I can do?" And we know he rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. It also goes on to say, and they, who is this that calmed the seas and stopped the wind? Who is this guy? Although they know. Yet despite these things that were happening to them, and can I tell you something, even for us and our fickle faith, do we truly believe everything that God has given to us? Do we truly believe and accept everything by faith that he has shown to us in his word? Oh, my friend, can I tell you something? We as Christians, we're not as strong in the faith as we should be. We're not as strong in the belief of different things that are found in the word of God. But my friend, we must, and unto our friends, we must be of great faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us promises throughout the word of God. And there's no greater promise than that the coming of the Savior from when he came. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." He said he was coming, and he came. He'd even said what he was going to do when he came. Isaiah 53:4-5. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." From the prophecy of old unto the revealing unto the New Testament, the Jews themselves believed not. And even his disciples, these who walked with him, talked with Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, still struggled with their faith. So we find in Matthew 6:30, Wherefore, if God be so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Matthew 8:26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, that was his Peter, who was walking on the water, and now he's sinking. O thou of little faith, where dost thou doubt? Where dost thou doubt? Matthew 16:8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread in the feeding of the thousands? And so can I tell you something, even at this time, even at this great celebration that's happening here at the resurrection day, there not far from the tomb, and where two run to the tomb to see and then come back, still have that realm of doubting. So in Mark 16:9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after he appeared in another form unto two of them, we'll see the two on the road to Emmaus, as they walked and went into the country. And when they went and told it unto the residue, or the left behind, neither believed they them. Afterward, he, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat, and upbraideth them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Wow. Would you like to be there that day? Would you like to be upbraided by the Lord? Would you like to have been corrected? Would you like to have been the one, I told you. I doubt Jesus came and said, I told you so. I told you that I would die. I told you that I would come again. I told you I was going to go to Jerusalem. And I told you I was going to hang on that cross. And I told you on the third day, I will rise again. He upbraided them. But he didn't finish there. He kept going. But I want to share with you a few things about doubt. About doubt. And we see here, on those two on the road to Emmaus. And certain of them which were with us to the sepulchre and found it so, as the women said, and saw not. Make sure I get to the right page. There we go. So unbelief. You know, we can easily get into the same rut of unbelief as these that walked with Jesus. We can get into that same spot. We can get into that same place. We can get into that spot to where we think that, well, I just can't do that anymore. I just don't think I have it in me to be more. I just don't. You can, and we can be, and do more, and live more, and go more. So what did Jesus do to get them back? Well, he upbraided them. He acknowledged to them that they weren't where they needed to be. O ye of little faith, O ye which disbelieve. I find this passage in Scripture is where we get this term, the backslider, from. In Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider. In that regards is the fact of sliding backwards. It's having been at one spot, and now you're not in that spot anymore. The Lord gives us this word. He gives us this term in which the backslider in heart. What we see about this backslider in heart, it is an inside thing. We don't start backsliding on the outside until after the inside starts backsliding. The change doesn't come outside and starts affecting your heart. The Bible says, my eye hath affected my heart. The things that I see and I hear, the things in my heart I would not necessarily say. You know, Dr. David Wood, whom we know and love, is with the Lord, would give us a little instruction every once in a while in his preaching and teaching and just being there. You know, his great phrase was, no matter what's going on, no matter how terrible things get, whatever it may be, everything is great and wonderful. It is great and wonderful. It is great and wonderful that we don't have any lights on in here. You know, it's great and wonderful. It's okay. We're going to be able to write to our children. We're going to get home and put this on Facebook. Pastor Holtzclaw, he got up there. Jonathan and Miss Sydney, they sung the lights out. Then we got some on, and Pastor Holtzclaw, he preached the lights out. Literally. You know, we'll have that. But, you know, it's... We see these things, and it's not something that we would normally say, great and wonderful. And he said, if a lady comes out, and she's got this crazy-looking hat on, and she asks you, how's my hat look? You don't go to her and say, it's awful. That's the most awful-looking hat I have ever seen. I have no idea where you got those things from, and that from, and this from. That's just plain awful. You don't say that. What do you say? Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And I heard a new word, Pastor. That's interesting. So if you ever ask me, do you like my hair, Brother Holtzclaw? And you hear me say, it's interesting. How's my dress, Brother Holtzclaw? That is very interesting. Now inside my heart, I may be thinking, man, where'd you get that from? What psychedelic person out there created that fashion? And what in the world do you have in your mind putting it on? But it's interesting. It's interesting. But you know, if I let my heart just kind of to continue to go and continue to get a little bit more of whatever bitterness or more just hateful and let my feelings just kind of come forward out, then I may start changing a little bit. If I got my eyes on things that I shouldn't have my eyes on, little by little, it's going to affect my heart. The things that I listen to, although I may not say it, I may not be doing it, but if I listen to the wrong things, little by little, I am going to change in my belief, and I can run into the realm of unbelief. Well, I just don't believe that anymore. I don't think we need to do that anymore. I just don't believe that the Bible is literal anymore. I mean, there's a movement going on right now that in regards to the atheists, the agnostics, and all those other agnostics that are out there, they're doing everything they can to push evolutionism and to push secularism into us, that they're even saying now there was no resurrection. There was no resurrection that ever happened. You have no proof of the resurrection. There's nothing physical you can go to say, this is it. Where's the bones? Where's this? Where's that? Well, my friend, my answer is there is no bones. Because he didn't leave them behind. There's a couple tombs that kind of look like the tomb. It doesn't matter which one we go to. The same result is the same. He's not there. He's not there. But they want to raise this thought of getting folks to even doubt the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, just real quickly, I'm going to give you four things about proof that there is the resurrection of Jesus. And first of all, you know, it's along the writings thereof, and just one main point, but it's kind of connected into four, is that who wrote these scriptures down for us, but the Holy Spirit spoke through men that were moved by the Spirit of God for us to have what God wanted us to say. Now, these men who wrote did not flatter themselves in their writing. Can you imagine a man? Does any man want to write down in scriptures that they have been rebuked of Jesus? Do you think any man will write down the fact that it's the ladies that went to the tomb and the ladies believed, but we didn't believe? Do you think a real man would do that? No. Man would say, I got there. We wouldn't even mention the ladies. We got there. Jonathan and I, we got there. We ran inside and we looked and said, Jesus is alive. And we went back. It was us. This is my name, Tim Holtzclaw, Jonathan Treadway. We went in and we saw Jesus alive. That's what men would do. But that's not what these men do. Who went there and who believed? The testimony, number one, of the women at the tomb. The women gave testimony of what happened. They are proof. Number two, the testimony of the disciples. At first, no, they didn't believe. At first, no, it's not us. Can you imagine a man saying that, I don't believe that, and later on have to come back around and say, okay, I was wrong. But they did come back around. They did believe. And not only did they come back around and did they believe, my friend, I will tell you this also is that they went a step further. They went a step further in the testimony of their life to give their life because of the resurrection. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, do you think that any one of them would have gone as a martyr for nothing? Would any one of them have gone to the stake? Would any of them, Peter, being crucified upside down? Do you think they would have done that? Want to get stoned? Want to go through that trouble and trial and to do all that? No, they wouldn't have done that. The testimony of these disciples is what they went through because of the resurrection of Jesus. Not without. There's a testimony of the 500 that was seen. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the great part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. I saw him, Paul said. Paul continues and said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Is there a battle for the resurrection of Christ? Yes. Is there a battle going on right now in the news? Yes. Is there a battle for your faith? Yes. Oh, my friend, we don't need God's children to be in the realm of unbelief. We need to be taking steps forward in belief for him. So how to overcome disbelief? Let's see what Jesus says. Number one, I'd say take notes, but number one, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I'm going to go to Luke chapter number 24 and start off with verse number 26. These are the two on the road to Emmaus. These are two that have left Jerusalem and they're just kind of walking out of town after the crucifixion. And so Jesus is there with them and he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So we know the story. They left and Jesus comes in, but they don't know who it is. And he asks, what's going on? And he said, haven't you heard that Jesus was crucified? And Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Isn't this what's supposed to have happened? He said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so their response further down as it goes along, and now they've left Jesus. Jesus says, show them the scriptures, show them the word. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. So here's the two walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus is dead. He's gone. He's been placed in the tomb. And it's just all over. didn't quite say it that way, but you kind of get the tone of what they're saying. And Jesus says, is this not what he's supposed to do? Is this not what he is supposed to go through? Don't you believe what happened? And then on the third day he would come again. Don't you believe these things? And so what did Jesus do for him? He got them back into the Word. He started with Moses, the prophets, and expounded unto them the Scriptures. Oh, my friend, if you're feeling that your faith is waning, you're feeling that a little bit of unbelief is creeping in different things in your life, I want to encourage you, get back to the book. God's book, God's holy book. Read God's Word again and study it and hold it true. Get into the Word. Get into the Word. And so we find in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right now, I've got light to read by. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What did Jesus do in regards to their unbelief? He took them back to the Scriptures. He took them back to the Bible. Oh, my friend, let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the old book. Let's get back to those pages. Let's crinkle them again. Let's get them into our eye gate so they can get into our heart gate. When our eye gate has bad things coming in, it's going to affect the heart. But if the eye gate's got the Scripture coming in, it is by the washing and the renewing by the Word of God. Let's get those in there. Hebrews 4:2, the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every child of God needs to be in the Word of God. Every child of God needs to be studying the Word of God. We need to be learning of Jesus. Matthew 11:29 and verse 30, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to have someone preach this to you? You want some good lessons on learning how to read the Bible? Can I encourage you to go to the MaranathaWV.com? Pull up the Scott Pauley videos that we just showed here just recently on Wednesday night, and you'll get a wonderful, good introduction on how to read your Bible. Or you can go to Scott Pauley's site. Whatever it takes, determined to grow in your faith and not back up in a backslidden state of unbelief. So number one, what did Jesus do? Jesus took him to the Word. Number two, I want to see what he did, is that he walked with God daily. He wanted us to walk with God daily. In Luke chapter 24, verse 50, again, with the two men on the road to Emmaus, and he, Jesus, led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. We find here that he led them. He guided them. He walked with them. Jesus walked with the disciples. He talked with the disciples. He was with them all the time. He shared with them the Scriptures. So how can we walk with God daily? Yes, it is our daily walk in the Word. But not just in the Word only, because in the Word only is God talking to us, where God wants to have a conversation with us. And may that be, it's now it's our turn to converse back to Him and walking daily. And that means in prayer, to help your heart stay in belief and not unto the realm of unbelief. Get into the Word and then walk daily with Him in the Word and in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Into the realm of prayer. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be prayerful. So be in the Word. Be walking with the Lord. Number three, be faithful to God's church and God's house. We find as it goes back to that passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 24, go back and read this when you get home and read the story and let these things come to mind as we go through. And I like what verse 52 says in verse 53. Pastor says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So the two that went unto Emmaus, they left doubtful. They weren't sure what was going to happen next. Well, everything's in turmoil. Haven't you heard? Jesus had died, and Jesus came back from the Scriptures, led them through, walked with them, talked with them, and then left them. And they said, oh, how it burned within us. And now it says they went back and they worshiped him, went to Jerusalem with great joy. They're not sorrowful anymore. They're now happy in the Lord. And when they continued in the temple, praising and blessing God, the temple thereof, gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ, they praised God. They worshiped God. My friend, that's a picture of the church. That's a picture of what we do here. What did we do this morning? Singing these wonderful songs about Jesus risen from the grave. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Hey, ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's a hallelujah moment. That's a praise the Lord moment. That's worship moment. That's moments that we have when we sing. I love it when we're going through these wonderful songs. Even when we sing the great song, Amazing Grace. And Miss Debbie on the piano keeps raising it higher and higher and higher as we go along. Just kind of building and building. Oh, my friend, it's just the excitement thereof, of being in church and being with brothers and sisters in Christ. And the place where we worship and the place where we praise, it's a place that we fellowship. It's a place of great joy. Here. When unbelief comes, get into the Word. When unbelief comes, get into prayer. When unbelief comes, get into church. There's just something about the gathering God's people faithfully in a place that has such an impact upon your heart. Now, have such an impact upon your life, but not just yours only, but your family's life and your family's life. And I'm getting a phone call. It's probably the alarm company saying that we're showing that you have an issue at your church. Yes, we do. Voicemail. Hebrews 10:25. You know this as well as I do. Working this happened but a church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Getting together. Not forsaking the assembling, but coming. Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, my friend, we need to get into the church. Even the disciples who had seen Jesus had the human problem of disbelief. Unbelief is the killer of Christians that fall away and fall away. There's my survey, but I did well with it. But we are still living in a day and an age to where our teenagers, our young adults are falling away. They get out of the church environment, some even out of the Christian school environment. They have been bombarded through their teen life. They've been bombarded through the young adult life. They see everything that's out there. The skeptics are out there. The critics are out there. The society is out there. They're not just out there doing their thing. They are attacking within. They don't want your kids here. They don't want your kids following Jesus. They don't want your kids pure. They don't want your kids holy. They want to change your kids. They want your kids to no longer be boys or girls. They just want them to be something different. Something different. My friend, that's the philosophy outside the walls. My friend, we need them here. We need them growing. We need them being. When they start going into the realm of unbelief, may we be the ones to step in and say, no. Let's get back to the Word. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's come back to the church. Let's come back and keep growing in the Lord. We keep going. And I believe it starts with this, my fourth and my last point. Is the word repent. The word repent. We see where Jesus is talking to them here and there throughout the scriptures at the time of the rapture and him coming back to be with them and seeing that their unbelief, he upbraided them, he chastened them, he shared with them, these two on the road to Emmaus. Hey guys, this is what the scripture said. This is what Jesus said that he would do, and this is what he did. And now you're moping? Oh my friend, we need to be rejoicing in what he did. We need to be turning. And these turned, they repented from their sorrow unto joy. The disciples, when they heard that he had risen from the grave, they believed not. They thought it was an idle fairy tale. But when they saw him, he upbraided them too. Believest thou not? And what did they do after they saw him and spent time with him and he ascended up into heaven and the Holy Spirit of God came? These are the men that the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that shook the world for God. These are the ones that traveled. These are the ones that were abused. These are the ones that were martyred. These are the ones that preached. These are the ones that taught the good news of Jesus. We find the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5 about this church at Ephesus. And it says, I know thy works and thy labor, says the Lord, and thy patience to the church. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That's a good thing. Yeah. It's good that we have some good works. We have some good labor. We have some good patience. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. It's good to be able to do that. And hast borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. That's a good thing to say of a church. But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remembering therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. Oh, you did some good things in the past. You did some wonderful things in the past, but nevertheless, I have found somewhat against thee. They started going into the realm of unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, my friend, may we be working forward into the realm of repentance. May we be looking and self-examining as we do at communion time, as we have learned in our class about what communion is, and that we know the brokenness of the body of Christ and the blood that flowed from his body, that we examine ourselves and examine our hearts and see where we are. And by that come unto Holy Ghost conviction. In order to say, dear God, I want to repent. I want to have my heart with a spiritual decision and turning back to God and back to his way and ways in my heart and my life. So I don't know if I have all that belief to do that. Well, neither did the man that came with a great need to Jesus. The need is, had his child that had demons inside of the child. And will you help me? Will you help me? And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Oh, my friend, if we could just go back. Go back. Or maybe as a new Christian, just protect your heart, guard your heart, and move forward by getting back to the Word. Getting back to walking in prayer. Getting back and being faithful to the church. Repenting. And grow and grow and grow. Oh, my friend, can I tell you something? We don't need to be going backwards. We need to be going forward. We don't need to be getting weaker. We need to be getting stronger. We need not let the fact that we have lights or no lights deter us from getting the gospel out around the world. Because I believe we are living in those last days. But if not in those last days, we're sure closer to those last days. And the generation past, they are past. This is our generation now. To walk by faith. To live by faith. To live believing. Moving forward. Going forward for Jesus. So with their heads bowed and eyes closed, and not many people can see each other right now. But how's about your heart? Is it right with God? Is it right with God? Are you where you need to be? Maybe tonight you'd say, Brother Holtzclaw, no, I'm not. But don't tell me you're not. Tell God you're not. But then again, God already knows. He already knows. Can I encourage you? If you can make it to an old-fashioned altar to talk to God, or maybe even just right where you are, as a church, a body of believers, may we continue to keep growing for Jesus. Let's not let anything step into our way. Let's not let the things of this world dim our eyes, flood our ears, and crowd our heart. But let's deal with things and turn back to God. Getting back to his word, spending more time in prayer, spending time together as brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging each other in the growth that we need to have ourselves. We grow in the Lord. Guess what? God's going to bless the numbers of the church. But it doesn't matter what the numbers are. What numbers is precious souls being saved. What matters most is that your heart is getting right with God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Guide us, Lord, tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the holy word of God. Lord, this has been an unusual night. But, Lord, you knew that it would be. So, Lord, now I pray that you'll bless all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together, please, and sing. I think you would know it. My Jesus, I love thee, affirming our devotion to the Lord, our commitment to doing things His way. The essence of our response to the Lord is ought to always be out of love, our love for Him, remembering that He first loved us. Can you get us on the key there, Miss Debbie? Well, you've got some love.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. The unflappable Tim Holtzclaw. Unflappable. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. It's light outside. Hallelujah. And tell somebody about Jesus this week. God bless you. You are dismissed.